So I was doing this whole thing about human beings and where we're at, and I was putting it on my radio show, and of course, whoever it was, the powers that be, did not want everybody to hear it. And just because they did that, guess what? I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to give you more information than I had even intended. We'll start the whole thing over again. It'll only refine what it is that I'm trying to express. And what I was saying to you is that if you're feeling blocked, limited, or like you're stuck in a cycle that just like, I don't know, you're just overwhelmed because just so much crap has happened. You might have no support system. Your hair might be a wreck, you know, whatever. Your life might be whatever. And truly, all it is your belief system. What you think is actually possible. What you've been programmed to believe is possible or isn't possible. And then your very own decision of, do you want that to be possible? Because maybe you don't want that. You know, we make these choices on like a micro level, and we don't even know that we hold these premises, because inside of ourselves, whatever it is that's been said in front of us is not in alignment with what we spiritually want to do. So what I'm saying to you is that we can overcome literally everything. The deep state, the oligarchs, just anything that we think is, you know, adverse to human advancement. And how do we do that? By just like starting with ourselves on the like the smallest level. We just make a decision of like, I'm tired of waking up every day. I have like no energy. I'm tired of looking at these people. I'm tired of hearing these negative people and all the crap that they have to say. You know, I don't like where I live, and I'm not speaking on behalf of me. I'm just speaking of just anybody out there that's just feeling, you know, okay, I know all these things that are going on that are bad. I know that depopulation is going on. I know that the lowest human moral standard is being promoted. What can I do? What can I do? We're screwed. Let's just eat, drink, and be merry until, you know, God comes back and destroys the evil and hope we're not one of those people. No. Guess what? It's not even that serious. There's no fight. You literally have already won the war. You won the war. I won the war. Everybody on this planet, we've already won. Because there are so many of us. And all we have to do is just decide in ourselves that we're going to live a different way. And that we decide what we believe. And I think the core of that is our identity system. And I think that there are definitely powers that be that planned generations ago, that, you know, human beings were going to be controlled in such a way. And these same people, if you want to call them people, went from society to society and culture to culture. And they just destroyed everything. They took what they wanted. And I'm looking for a specific word. Plummet? I can't find this word, but just basically it's like a very vampiric type of thing. It's vampiric, where they literally ate the people, ate the culture, told them who they were, what was to be, and each conquered land became enslaved, and we're all still enslaved, and we don't know it. We're free and we're enslaved, but that freedom is being threatened. Right now, you still have your mind. There were many people in the Holocaust that used to say that we were living in somebody's basement and we couldn't make a fart or whatever, or they would find us or whatever. And they were like, they enslaved us in that way, but we had our minds. We were free in our minds. How many artists were in somebody's basement in the Holocaust, and they were drawing, and they were living through their minds. They were living other realities until they could actually live them. And I think that we need to be cognizant of these false worlds that we can give our consent to, that are created by the Matrix. And there's many different showmen that are hosting us through these different experiences. But you really do have your choice, just like in the game, in any of these games. If you're a gamer, you can choose what character you are and what you're going to play and what your abilities are within the game and what you can do. And it totally isn't that what we just saw in Jumanji, the movie with The Rock? Everything that we're seeing in these films is exactly what is going on out here, where, you know, The Rock is in another movie, Rampage, where they show you these creatures that are getting bigger and bigger for whatever reason. I didn't see the movie, but we also know that there's an ancient truth. We see these tree stumps, and these tree stumps are like a gazillion times taller and wider than any of the trees that we're seeing today. So that told us that way before we had humongous trees and these petrified topography of land, like mountain masses and whatever, that are in the shapes of animals or even people. These are petrified land. I forgot the name of it. I was just studying it yesterday. We'll talk about it again today. Jay Dreamers, if you want to check that out on YouTube. All of this stuff existed. Everything that we've been seeing in myth, study Joseph Campbell if you're interested in those traditions and the origins. All of our stories, our fairy tale, our fantasies, the fairies, the elves, the Smurfs, all of that. There's a reason why we have stories. Stories have some element of history. It is a way of continuing the oral and written tradition. And if you examine it, you will find truths within these stories. There's a reason that they're there and that they've lasted this long. I'm going to cover so many topics, but this is just an overview of where we're headed and what I'm looking at, so that people understand it's not, there's nothing random, nothing at all random about the things that I'm looking at and that I'm studying. Maybe it seems to you that way, because the way that we've been taught in school is so selective, and it's just like the new way that they're teaching doctors, where they only study that one area, and things are not connected or systemic, as if we have 100 different kinds of cancer and all the different, there's 100 different cures when we have one immune system. And if we treated the immune system properly, we could cure all the cancers. It's that simple. It really is that simple. So, reason I'm studying Michael Tesarian today, the things he's saying about our ancient origins. The Bible is really indispensable. I'm not saying that there are things that might be off, that have been changed or whatever. I'm saying there are also truths in there, and there's also history in there. And if you want to understand anything, whether you're anti-Christian, whether you're Christian, whether whatever, you need to know it all to formulate the truth. if you're only getting one aspect of the truth, which is what we're getting in the media, because it's literally one narrative, verbatim, it is one narrative that we're getting through every media outlet. That's even the written media that's online, okay? That means it's one news source, and that means that one person is controlling what that narrative is. And you cannot possibly think that you have command of the truth if you only have one aspect of the story. Why? Because they want to keep everyone thinking the same. And that way you're easily controlled with diversity of thought. If you allow difference of opinion, then you have an unpredictability there. And what is unpredictable is not as easily controlled. So at any rate, I'm going to keep this show short today. What I was talking about earlier is the one drop rule. And the one drop rule was basically that, like, if anybody had a drop of black in them, that they're black and that you could be from anywhere, all over the world or whatever, that you're black. And I am proposing an amendment or whatever. And that is that if you're one drop anything, that you're also that. And I would say that equally, because spiritually, we all have a spiritual heritage. We have memories, past life memories. It's in the DNA. It is in the DNA. And this is what I was speaking to when people are talking about Mr. Kendrick's album, when people are looking at what I was looking at the time when that album was written. And where the origins of the thought that song came from, it's from what I'm talking about right now and what I was thinking about at that time. And basically, that is that. In that DNA, there is that physical evidence that connects you to another place of origin, possibly. But there's also spiritually a link to the past lives. And I think that past lives are going to become increasingly relevant, even though no one now, except for Dr. Weiss and maybe a couple of others, are focusing on it. You know, people are laughing it off or just whatever. I don't believe that I need to sit around and think about only the things that I hear about on television or whatever. I am free in my mind to think about whatever I want to think about. And if it is pertinent to my life, then it is relevant. And the chances are that it is, if it's pertinent to my life, that because we're all humans and we're all connected, it's probably pertinent to your life. But it's not a part of the narrative that the media that you have access to or that you plug yourself into. They have no reason to tell you all this. And so I'm going to try to explain my theory to you. Of course, I will be doing scholarship and writing it officially. I think I am on academia. Is it academia.com? I don't know what it is. I'm going to be making papers and writing this stuff too, but just not right this second. I live my life, and then my scholarship comes out of my life. I'm not doing scholarship to live, if you understand what I mean. Okay. And I don't believe that only going to school is the way to learn this, because their curriculums are not set up to teach in the way that I am advocating that we start thinking and learning. It's not there yet. So that's pointless. What I'm suggesting is wherever you are in life, if you want to go back to school, you should. But the important thing is that we all start doing independent study. And I'm going to tell you what's been happening is that this culture of narcissism is being encouraged so that we stop thinking about anything else other than ourselves. And when I say ourselves, it's just what we look like. Just that one aspect, the superficial aspect. And it's like in the Greek mythology, that figure that was like looking at themselves in the water, reflection in the water, all that time? How much time was wasted? And was any knowledge of self ever found? Probably not. So be very careful as you think you're being celebrated in the media, in the magazines or whatever. You think whatever slice you're from, your demographic, one day it's women, the next day it's gays, the next day it's, I don't know who, black people, or then it's Latin, and then it's this, then it's that, whatever it is, be very careful, even if it's supposedly a praise, that you are not being programmed. Because I think especially black people with that whole black identity thing, it is a construct used to control where they're telling you that you came from, they're telling you who you are, and they're telling you who you can be. And even if it sounds like it's positive, you need to really look at it and look at who's saying it and why. What is the end game of it? Somebody else I was listening to a couple of weeks ago was saying that that whole suddenly you people of color were colored and everybody of color was called colored. And then suddenly it became this black thing as the identity. And I guess I would say Afrocentric in the sense of understanding what that means, but not with that word. I love everything about myself or whatever. I appreciate the people, the culture, the everything. But I do understand that certain political figures, certain celebrity figures, and songs and stories and movies were created to create this identity, that it's an identity construct with a bunch of limitations built into it. And if you take on that, you will be limited. And what I'm saying is, shake it off. Shake it off. And don't let anybody define you. I don't care what race you are. I don't care whatever it is that you think that you are. I say question everything, because there's this other thing that nobody's talking about, and that is our spiritual identity. So let me link it back to the DNA again. Let's try to put it all together, and we'll bring in the African ancestral worship, which was the worship of the ancestors, and was that whole practice was changed in different ways depending on if you ended up in Haiti or if you were in the South or if you were in Louisiana. But what is that really? What is it really? And we're going to be studying that in the next couple of weeks. But what I'm proposing is that we, when I say we and I say you, your spiritual self, you are a spiritual self living a human experience. So you are a spirit that you are light, you are living light, and you are in this body that is in the matrix. And you as living light, you have been here before, because we know that energy is neither created nor destroyed. You've been here. We've all been here. And what I'm saying is, any ancestor that you have had, you could have been them. You could have lived that lifetime. And I believe that knowledge is stored within the DNA. It definitely is. You see how certain cultures or races have lived certain practices for so many generations that you can see when they birth that baby that the legs are going to be in such a way, or the strength is going to be in such a way. Because that's retained. But there's also other forms of knowledge, spiritual knowledge and otherwise, that is retained. And I was talking about this a little bit earlier, but let me kind of explain to you how you would know about
these aspects of your spiritual heritage. And this is every single person. You have this. You have this. If there has ever been a time where you've done something that's completely foreign to you, and you're doing it as if you have done it all your life, and you don't understand why. Or you go someplace, like I said, and you're in a place for 2 weeks. You didn't know the language and you just picked it up. Or you just know how to do certain things and you don't know why. You say, how do I know this? Why do I know this? Your spiritual, your that light inside of you knows it. Now, we're also going to go into where the soul really resides and where the brain, the way that we think of the brain, where it really is and all that kind of stuff. We're going to talk about all that kind of stuff. But there's the etheric body, there's our regular body. There's so much to talk about. But what I'm saying to you is you've been here before. And any of those ancestors that you had, your light body, your light, your living light could have lived that lifetime. And you're back again. And we're in this transitory time where it's like the end of a cycle. Even in the terms of the consecutive jubilees, like we're towards the end, the wrapping it up. Okay, so all those lifetimes we lived, what did we learn? Through all that karmic debt cycle, what did we learn? Where did we get? And if God is coming back, it would make sense. If the world is about to deal with revelations or judgment or whatever it is, and it's upon us, I think it already started. That's what started in 2012, but we don't think anything happened. I think things happened. We do not understand the nature of the matrix. We don't understand the nature of these bodies and the connection between the spirit and the physical body and the mind. But someone has that knowledge and they're definitely keeping it from the rest of us. The movies will definitely give you a clue into what these people, the hidden knowledge that some entities on this earth have and are keeping from the rest of us. So why is this relevant? Because what I'm saying to you is that we can do things. We have gifts. Everyone has gifts, different gifts, and different ways of accomplishing different things. That we've become so foreign to ourselves that we are not accessing everything that we have. Why? Because of the identity construct. And because of even functionality that we've agreed to do. Like if your job is this, well, my job has me thinking this way and I do this as a part of my job. So this other stuff that I have over here, which is this natural inclination to either understand, to interpret, to decipher, to whatever, none of that is applicable here because that's a different area. And I was saying earlier that that's just like how the medical doctors are being taught in science, that, you know, with the cancer, oh, there's a gazillion kinds of cancer and all of them have different cures. And instead of saying we have one immune system, and if you do the right thing with that one immune system, it can cure all disease. And that kind of, when we look at the knowledge that's written down of Christ consciousness, isn't that also kind of what is being said? That if we have the faith of the mustard seed, all things can be accomplished. Native Americans also have that you can, everything can be handled. When you have that alignment, the correct alignment, it is not about lifting weights. The making of the pyramids, we don't know exactly how it was done. Some people say it's concrete. or whatever, and they poured it on or whatever. Some people think it was giants lifting all this stuff. Some people say that it's sonic frequency, meaning sound, using levitational techniques with sound, or magnets, or whatever it is. Whatever it is, it's some type of alignment or way of doing things, and it's not in brute strength. There are other ways of doing things, such as alchemy, chemical reactions, different frequencies, to get at the same desired endpoint. So what I'm saying to you is that it is very vital that we ask ourselves what we believe, why we believe, and what is the cost of maintaining false belief systems and deceptions. Because if you choose truth and independent thinking, know that you will face the uncomfortable, probably verbal assault of the ignorant and of those who have abdicated their freedom and their critical thinking to others, because they can't think outside of the box, and because they choose not to, they don't want you to do it. The best thing is not to tell. I mean, I always say share your truth. If you've got the gumption to share your truth, do it. If you know how to share your truth in a way that benefits you and others and is not disparaging, hateful, hurtful, or put you in any risk of danger. I think that now is the time of courage. Independent thinking is absolutely necessary. And there is a severe lack of diversity. There is a lack of diversity in the surrogates and in the thought leadership. There is not a diversity of leadership. We are getting people that are selected from early on in their lives and subjected to horrible things so that they will say and do whatever it takes to project certain realities to the public and the people in the matrix so that the system continues. And so you have a problem when someone exposes possibly that there's a deception going on. You say, well, it's okay, you know. No, because if you believe that deception, then they can lie to you about anything. And if all the people that are supposed to be speaking on behalf of the collective do not have the collective's good at heart, that poses a serious problem. And if you can't see that that is literally no representation for the human voice and the concerns of human people, then you are really, really lost. And most people are lost and don't know it. We're losing our humanity. We're gaining and we're losing. It's however you look at it. In a way, as someone also mentioned a Voltaire quote today. It's in my phone. But I have something to agree with Voltaire on, that it is the best of all possible worlds. In spite of all the bad things that's happening, it's the best of all possible worlds. Why? Because the thing that was created to ensnare us, the internet, has actually become a blessing. And if we can take advantage of it and avail ourselves of all the knowledge and the different perspectives, the true diversity of thought that's out here, and use it, then we can redefine the identity construct and the rules that are the bars, the prison of the enslavement. We can do that. Step by step by step. It's on such a micro changes. That's what I'm calling today's episode, a micro changes. where learning one truth can change your whole perspective. Like maybe yesterday you were so depressed that like everything was hideous and heinous and whatever. Like people tend to think and feel certain ways because of physical conditions. You know, we base a lot off of how we feel, but that doesn't mean that that's the way that it is. Or we base something on how we look when looks can be changed. You have the right amount of money, you can look any kind of way you want. And we are also giving credit to people based on how they look when they bought it. So are we really giving them credit for how they look, or we're congratulating their plastic surgeon? That's something to think about. So are you what you look like, or are you what you really are, the essence of what you really are? Because on the outside, you could look like a crackhead. And your body could be addicted. And your house could be heinous. And when you put all the weight of all of that on what it is that you want to do or how you want to live, it could seem like, oh, I'll never get out of this. You know, and you don't see how changing one part of your belief system, whether it's materialism, whether it's hedonism, whether it's whatever it is, you know, whatever your theory is, if you changed one thing, and you can always change it back. That's the thing that people forget. You can change your mind, and if you're wrong, you can change it back. But people are so afraid of thinking differently, and they're afraid of others thinking differently. But like I said, you could change one belief and it could just change your outlook and the way that you think about everything. And then suddenly you can find yourself with momentum to be like, oh, okay, I don't want to do this, but maybe I can. Because it's not going anywhere. Drinking a whole thing of Jack Daniels, guess what? When you come back, when you get sober again, the problem is still there. When you look in the mirror, whatever it is, the zit, it's still on your face. Your teeth are still jacked up. You know, nothing changes until you change it. So something's got to change internally. And then you'll start seeing it outside. So one thing that you can learn from Christians, whether you like them or you don't, whether you agree with them or not, is that really, if they really believe the mustard seed thing, which is like basically you already have the victory, and if you just think inside of yourself, right thinking, and that's more than Christians. All over the world, we have different traditions that teach us the same lessons, okay? And definitely in Asian philosophy cultures, you have that tradition of right thinking is critical. So with what I'm saying about everything, it's all about alignment. If our alignment is in such a way that things that we thought were so hard and so difficult in the natural, they really aren't. It's how, what your alignment is. The alignment of your spiritual, physical, mental capacities. And all that's necessary, another thing you can learn from Asian culture, and they tell you, well, that's Bruce Lee. But anyway, you don't focus on your enemy, the size of your enemy, or how big the mountain is ahead of you, on any of that. You don't focus on that. If you change your perception of yourself, if you stop believing anything, and just do, you know, act, take action, things change. And how you think could change. Being in a different place can change your perspective. Being around different people, that is what really, we need to really love ourselves and give ourselves some compassion. Because
it's easy to say, well, if you just think this in yourself, you can. Yes, yes, I understand that. Don't we all understand that? But sometimes, not only are we in cycles of just incomplete actions, incomplete situations, karmic situations, but we don't just live in a vacuum by ourselves. We're in the company of others. And they have thoughts. And they have identity constructs. And so if you think differently from them, you're threatening, you know, what it is that they think they can do or whatever like that. And especially when you're a kid and you've got people telling you, well, you can only do this and you need to do that and, you know, or whatever the rules are around you, it can be really difficult when certain images are being reflected back to you that people are telling you, oh, that's you. And you know that it isn't. But that's what they're saying for whatever reason, that they need you to be whatever that is. You must come in alignment with your own personal truth. And that's how you shake that off. And that's how you get the victory. So I'll be talking more and more about that. But I really feel invigorated. Every time I get onto something, the phone starts ringing and automated messages start coming on. Whenever I get deep into it, that's what usually happens. But it doesn't matter. We're all free. There is no fight. There is no fight. The only fight that we have is within ourselves, that we do not settle and that we don't compromise, that we are uncompromising when it comes to the truth and our access to information, and that we continue a tradition of independent thought. The truth is the truth. It holds up to scrutiny. And if you are your true, authentic self, you also will hold up to scrutiny. And so therefore, you have nothing to fear. If people lie on you, try to castrate your character, whatever it is that they're saying, it doesn't even matter. It literally doesn't even matter if it is not who you really are and what you are about. So we are all extremely, extremely powerful beings. But we have been surgically separated from our power by programming. And no one's going to help you get back on that programming. Your environment is just not going to automatically change. That system was devised to operate and do exactly what it's doing. The only people that can change the system is us. And so that's where the fight is, to just have the endurance, the strength, the conviction to pursue truth and independent thought, and to think for ourselves. And part of that is the ability to be alone and the ability to be quiet so that you can hear what the ancestors are saying to you. So you can hear what your DNA is telling you, that yes, you can do this. Yes, you can do that. And actually, you can do this and you don't even know it. And it doesn't have to be done in your physical strength. That you already know. You already know. And sometimes your methods might be better than the answer key that they're giving you at school. You might have a faster way. I'm wondering sometimes if some of the school is meant to literally slow down our thinking, not accelerate it. I think that's what it's made for, is to dumb us down. And if you want to get to the fun part of life, you've just got to shake it off. You just got to shake off ignorance.
in all its forms. And anybody that's like saying stuff to you that is just ignorant, anyone that's telling you who you are, you need to shake it off. As long as you're not trying to reprogram who other people are, I'm not trying to reprogram anybody. All I'm doing is asking questions. But it's interesting how some people are extremely threatened by just the simple asking of questions. If that totally shakes their foundations, then they're not built on the truth. Their belief system or what they say they're about is not built on the truth, because it shouldn't shake you. It shouldn't rattle you that much. You should just be able to say, well, actually, no, that's not true. This is true. And then I look at what you say, and then I compare the two, and I think whatever I want. So, you know, I have a problem with lies and liars. And I think it would behoove most people to start raising our standards of the truth that we're willing to accept. Because there were actual laws passed that they can lie on television. And if you're that naive to think that the media is telling us the whole story and giving us the full picture, they're not. They're just not. So anyway, I covered a lot of things today. And some people would be like, well, that was all over the place and I couldn't see where you were going. Quiet your mind and understand that no matter what it is that I'm doing, whether I'm writing to you, whether I'm speaking to you, whether I'm on camera acting, or if I'm singing, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I am giving you the picture. I'm a painter. I'm an artist. I'm filling in the space with colors, with dimension, with understanding, with meaning. I'm communicating to you on many, many levels. I'm trying to wake up parts of you that have been suppressed, nerve endings that have been killed, parts of yourself that you thought were destroyed but aren't. That child's belief that are all things that are possible, and that there is joy yet to be found. Everything might seem boring, but really it isn't. Everything is boring now because it's the rehashing of old stuff. And we're at a turning point where we need to wrap up the karmic cycles and we need to go forward where we have never been, to innovate, to do new stuff, to find out new ways of being. Yes, always continue scholarship of what came before, because if you don't know that, then you can't know where you're going. But what is our job as artists is to take stuff in. It goes all through us. We're processing it. Those words, that song, that image, that whatever. And we bring it back up and it has new meaning. Why are we playing that character? Why are we looking at this? If we can't answer that, what the hell are we doing? What is the point of it? Why do we want to watch it? I'm just asking questions. I don't care what people think about me. I love every single human being on this earth. I don't care what you are. I don't care about that. I care about choices being taken away from people. I care about programming being put on people. I care about false agendas. Whatever organically is going to happen should be allowed to happen. And every single person should have a voice. I don't care if you got money, if you're poor, if you're broke, if you're fat, if you're ugly, if you're skinny, if you have no teeth, if your hair is jacked, you got one eye. I don't care whatever it is. You have the right to be. And that's on both sides of the aisle. I fight for that. But it shouldn't be one person's rights and then everybody else has no rights. That's not right. And I don't care who it's in favor of. Fairness, equality, justice for all human beings. Let's be human again. I hope everyone has a blessed weekend. Tyler Powers Radio.